All right, if you'll open your Bible, let's go to the book of Exodus. Exodus, the 20th chapter. I'll make it easy. Right there at the front, Exodus chapter 20. Most of you will recognize almost immediately that this is the text, the section that contains the Ten Commandments. And this morning I want to one more message in the series I started 2 weeks ago on answers, where we've talked about the Lord's Supper and baptism and tried to answer questions and deal with some of the issues that come up on those topics. But this morning I want one last message this week, and then we'll drop back in occasionally on this topic. But probably the number one question that comes up in all of religion, all of theology, all of church, regardless of the branch or the brand, is which way to God? How do you get to God? Does it matter? Don't all roads lead to God? That is some form of that question. Is common. How do you get to heaven? As long as you believe something, as long as you're sincere, isn't that okay? Doesn't matter if you're a good Buddhist or a good Baptist or a good Catholic or a good, you know, whatever. Don't all roads lead to heaven? And several weeks ago now, when I started preparing and thinking about this message, I really had originally intended began reading and gathering some information and looking at all the various answers, or the popular answers anyway, the most common answers to that question, what various religions believed and what various groups teach. And over time, I just became really comfortable, really, I guess, convicted and comfortable all at the same time, that what they said didn't matter. Instead of spending a lot of time, and I really had originally thought, well, I'm going to really get this all together, and I'm going to lay it out, and I'm going to really, I'm going to settle this issue once and for all. I'm going to answer the questions. I'm going to deal with the various opinions, and I kept looking at it and thinking about it, and finally, just kind of felt led back to this passage of Scripture and decided that the answer is really not as complicated, maybe, as we have made it. I've noticed something, and think about this for a minute, and just listen as you go out this week. I think I'm onto something here. Once upon a time, if you wanted directions somewhere, for example, if you wanted directions to, and I'll just say to the beach, if you wanted directions to the beach, you'd walk up to somebody and say, how do you get to the beach? How do you get to the mountains? How do you get to the Charlotte Coliseum? That was the question that we asked. And maybe this is because of GPS and everybody having cell phones now. I don't know where the change came. Maybe it's because of all the roads and interstate and traffic. But I've noticed now the question is very seldom, how do you get to the beach? How do you get to the mountains? How do you get to the Coliseum? It's almost always, what is the best way to the beach? What is the easiest way to the mountains? We kind of qualify a little bit. It used to be, how do you get there? Now we want to know the best way. If you pull it up on your GPS or on your phone, generally it'll give you a couple of choices. Are you walking? Are you bicycling? Are you driving? Do you want to avoid the interstates? You know, it'll give you three or four different routes. It'll tell you this one's a little longer, but this one's quicker. And, you know, it'll give you choices. What's the best way? And I don't know if religion has influenced our driving, or if driving has influenced our religion, but we've kind of came to that same point in religion as well. What's the best way? Or honestly, what's the easiest way to get to God? What's the easiest way to get there? And that seems to be the desire of people. I very, very rarely hear anybody say, I don't want anything to do with God. I know they're out there. I very, very rarely hear anybody say, I really want to go to hell. I know they're out there. They think they do anyway. Most people want to get to God. They want to get to heaven. But their question, it seems to be, what's the easiest way? What's the best way. And the implication there is this, that there are multiple ways to get to God. They all end up at the same place, but I'm going to choose which one I take. And again, when I started preparing for this message, I thought, well, I'm going to try to, close off some of those roads. And as I stood and I began to look at it and think about this and pray about this, I came back to this passage as God introduces the Ten Commandments and realized, instead of trying to tell you why all the other ways are wrong, I'm just going to tell you the right way. You know, and it really boils down, as I look at this, it really boils down to this. God says, here it is, here's the answer, you either take it or you leave it. I don't know about you, but I've discovered life by and large is that way. You know, generally speaking, there's the right way and the wrong way. You either accept the answer or you don't, and then you deal with the consequences. This morning, I want to see if we can answer that question. Which way? And just simply, instead of looking at what other religions say and where they get it wrong, I want you to simply this morning see what God says and decide what you're going to do with it. And decide how you're going to respond to what God simply says. And it really is a simple statement. God says here, he makes a very simple announcement when he says, I am the Lord thy God. He makes a really simple statement. On one hand it's simple, on the other hand it's the statement of eternity. I am the Lord thy God. And when you read that statement, that little simple statement, I am the Lord thy God, those few words deserve some really close inspection. They deserve some really serious thought about exactly what he says. He says there, I am the Lord thy God. He doesn't say something like, I am one of the gods, I'm just number one. We hear a lot of people say something like that, God needs to be number one in your life. Well, if you say God's number one in your life, that implies something else is even in the running. God says here, I'm the Lord thy God, singular present tense. He says, I'm it. You know, he doesn't debate it, much like Genesis opens up. If you remember how the Bible begins, it begins this way, in the beginning was God. There's no explanation, there's no debate. In the beginning was God. John chapter 1, the New Testament, how does it open up? In the beginning was the Word. Doesn't debate the fact, doesn't argue the fact, doesn't ask you if you care, doesn't ask you your opinion, doesn't ask you what the Muslims think, doesn't ask you what the Buddhists think, doesn't ask you what the Jehovah's Witnesses think, doesn't ask you what the atheists think. He simply says, I am God. That's it. He doesn't even leave room for an alternate. He doesn't leave room for debate. He doesn't say, here's why I am God. He doesn't say, I've done these things, therefore I am God. He says, I am God. Now, this is probably a really poor analogy, but it's one that everyone in here who's ever been a child, okay, that's all of you, can probably identify with, and anyone who's ever been a parent can probably identify with this. I said, clean up your room. Why? Because I'm your mother. That's why. You ever use that one? I'm your father. That's why. Watch, I know you've never used the because I'm your mother. Stick with me, buddy. Because I'm your father. That's why. Yeah, and I told you before, as a kid, I thought that was the stupidest reason I'd ever heard. I'll be honest with you. I hated that. But you know what? Now that I've become a parent, I found out that's not only a good reason, that's the best reason, that's the only reason. And God says here in this statement, I am God. Not because I've done anything. Not because I have given you anything. Not because I've worked for it. Not because you owe me. I am the Lord thy God. He simply lays out that statement. The word that he uses there for Elohim is this word. And hang on to this. Put this one back. Hang on to this one somewhere. I'm going to come back to this point in just a minute. When he says, I am the Lord thy God, the word God that he uses there, the Hebrews would have heard this word. They would have heard Elohim. You probably heard that word. It shows up in a few of our hymns and songs occasionally. But the word Elohim is the word that they would have used to talk about creation. It's the word that we'd find in Genesis. It's the word that is the name for God that talks about his creating power. And so God says here, I created the earth, I created you, I am the Lord God, I created everything. And so let's suppose for a moment that somewhere out there you find another God. Well, let's suppose that for a moment you could. Let's just suppose that. And again, God makes a simple announcement here that settles this question once and for all of which way is the way to God. He says, I am the Lord your God. I am the God who created earth, everything. And so if there is another God, if, and that is a monstrous if, by the way, if there is another God, guess what? God says, I created it. I made it. And so therefore, whatever I create, I am above. And so even if you somehow locate some other God, he says, I'm still God. You know, I'm still the God. I am the Lord thy God. And so he makes this just simple announcement. And so this morning, again, nowhere in the Word of God does he say, I am one of many gods, or I hope to be God, or I'm the main God, or I'm number one. He doesn't say that. He says, I'm God. You know, it's, I think about a little joke I heard one time. Said, years ago, back when the Soviet Union, when Russia was still the Soviet Union, they had a race, and there were two cars in the race. There was an American car and a car from the Soviet Union. And the American car just blew the doors off, of the Soviet Union car. I mean, just run off and left it. Back in the Soviet Union, the newspaper comes out in the Soviet Union, big race. Soviet Union finishes second. Americans next to last. Some of you, lean over and explain that to your neighbor. God doesn't say here, I'm first. That implies there's other people in the race. There's nobody else even in the running. He announces, I am God. And so the only question this morning is not which way leads to God, who is God. The question is for you to ever eternally settle. The God of the Bible, Jehovah, he is God. The question is what we're going to do with it. And so, he says, here's the announcement. I am God. From that announcement, since I am God, I want you to see this. I want you to see the anticipation of God. Well, look what he says at the end of this verse when he says here, and he makes a statement. He says, I have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, I know some of you are quick enough that you've already looked at that statement and said, I don't see any anticipation. Anticipation is something that, that comes out of, something I'm looking forward to, I'm anticipating lunch. And there's nothing that God doesn't say anything about anticipation. But what he says is, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, take the whole verse. He's announced, I am the Lord thy God, who has brought you out of bondage. Now, you know enough Bible to know about Egypt and bondage and what was going on with the Israelites in Egypt. Joseph and his family had ended up in Israel or in Egypt because of a famine. And over time, they had become servants of the Egyptians. You remember the story. In fact, there had become so many Israelites that Pharaoh had said, let's start killing their sons so that they don't outnumber us. That's how things were in Egypt. That's how things were in bondage. They were being forced into labor. They at one point they were making bricks, and the Egyptians were supplying them with straw. And then the Egyptians tell them, no, we're not going to supply you with straw anymore. You're going to have to go get your own straw, and you got to keep making the same number of bricks. And so you know enough about bondage. You know enough about Egypt. You know enough about slavery, servitude to know you don't want to be there, right? You know that. You don't even like working where you get paid, let alone being a servant. And so you know enough about that. And so God says, I am the Lord thy God who created you, who put you there, who created everything. And I delivered you from bondage. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think the Israelites should have loved and served God since he delivered them from bondage? Wouldn't that make sense? Do you think God anticipated some service, some worship, some respect, some love because of what he had done for them? Wouldn't that make sense? So what here? Look what it says. Which way to God? Well, here he tells us. He says, I'm God, and because I've loved you, you love me back. Wouldn't that make sense? Because of what I've done for you? Now I hear people on occasion who evidently haven't thought through really what they're saying real well, who will say something like this. Well, you know what God did for the Israelites back there in Egypt. If he would do something like that for us, or for me, let's think through that for one. Just stick with me one second. To be delivered out of slavery, you must first be a slave. Now, is that really what you want? Isn't it better to love a God that kept you, has protected you from ever being in bondage, than to say, if he'll get me out of bondage, I'd serve him, I'd worship him? I hear people, I've heard somebody one time, I don't know if you remember how it goes, but when the Israelites did come out of Egypt, they came out, you remember how the manna fell? You know, they got manna from the skies to eat. You know, oh, if God would supply our food from heaven like that, really? Is that what you want? Do you really mean you don't want food in your pantry when you want it, what you want? You really want to have to go out every day and gather up the same thing every day? The people who stand in front of cabinets with food falling out in their feet going, there ain't nothing here to eat. Really? You really want to live on manna every day? You know, if God would give us sandals and shoes like he gave the Israelites that didn't wear out for 40 years. Really? Ladies, really? Your shoes don't wear out because you replace them too quick. You don't need shoes that wear out. You don't need shoes that will last you for, they will last you 100 years because you only wear them once a year because you have so many. I love you too. Your shoes will go out of style before they wear out, for the most part. Do we really? Yeah, come back. There you go. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah. Absolutely. Is that really what we want? Now, let's stop and think for a moment. We say, God says to the Israelites, I am the Lord thy God. That hasn't changed. I've brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Well, now let's think for a moment. God says here, I expect you to worship me, to serve me, to follow me, to do it my way, because I've delivered you from bondage. Let me ask you a question this morning. Anybody in here ever been delivered out of bondage? I got one in the whole outfit. Anybody else ever been delivered out of bondage? Y'all catching on slowly. Ever been delivered out of bondage? Bible talks about sin as was, chains, a cruel taskmaster. Isn't that what it talks about, the sin and law? Doesn't it say we were under bondage? We were being held captive? You were under a death sentence? The wages of sin is death? And God in His infinite love, His authority, His wisdom, His mercy, His grace, looked down and sent His only Son to walk on this earth, to die on a cross, to set me free? What is the only way? You find me someone else that's done that for me. You find someone else. Every other religion, every other way wants me to do something for them. Wants me to give something, do something, be something. God says, I just want you to love me. I just want you to respond to me. I just want a relationship with you. What's the way? I don't know. You pick your way. I'm telling you, it's like this, are there other ways out there? Sure. But it's a lot like sitting down a big old piece of cake right here and a bowl full of cod liver oil over there. There's only one way. Yeah. Only one way. I don't know how many of y'all grew up around somebody that thought cod liver oil fixed everything from baldness to bunions, but I don't know how you get it down. If you get it past your nose, then you got to get it down your throat. Here's reality. We have been set free from bondage. Amen. Why shouldn't He anticipate us to love Him and to serve Him? What's the only way? The only way for me is the one that is the Lord my God, who has created all, who hung the stars in place, who put the sun and causes it to shine, who causes the moon to be there, who causes the earth to spin, and has brought me out of the house of bondage and set me free. That's the only way I see. That's the only way I know. There may be other ways you figure out and you think work, but there's only one way according to God Himself. You see the announcement He makes. You see the anticipation because of that. Then I want you to see the third thing that He says. The final thing is this. because He is the Lord, because He has brought us out of bondage. He says this. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's it. You want the answer to the way? There it is. You've got the announcement. I'm the Lord thy God, who has brought you out of bondage. Therefore, the assertion is this. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, you and I look at that statement, and we hear, before me. Maybe this is where the trouble comes in. Maybe we don't understand 1611 English. I know I don't. You know, and when we hear, no other gods before me, here's what we hear. As long as God is first, then everything else, you know, as long as nobody is before Him, as long as no one is in front of Him, that's not what it means at all. Not even close. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these photo finishes, as they call them, where there's two cars or two horses, and they come across with horses, they call it nose to nose, bumper to bumper, you know, where they come across and you had to go back and look at the photo and see which one was just a little bit out front. And some of us seem to think if we can just keep God just a little bit out front. You know, and let's be honest, most of us, we don't have a statue of Buddha in our house. We don't have, but job, work, family, listen, sometimes even church comes before God. If we're not careful, even church will get ahead of God. You can be doing good things, but God says, I'm God. And that's it. So the word before is a little bit confusing for us today. If you've got a translation other than the King James, there's a good chance that most of your modern translations say this. Thou shalt have no other gods besides me. Now, do you know the difference in before and beside? I did this at the first service, just kind of sprung on me. Just so happened I got a month's worth of bulletins here. I feel like Bill Kaiser and his Bible. Bill had every bulletin from 1950. You know, if I wanted to know something went on, I asked Bill. He had any Bible, him or Kim. You know, now, as long as I say, I'm going to use the yellow one here. As long as I say, no bulletin can be before this bulletin, right? Then I can have a bunch of bulletins. As long, and I can put these in whatever order, I can put them as close, as long, I'll turn them around this way, as long as this one is before these two, right? I can do whatever, I can rearrange them, I can, you know, I can even come up here and just kind of get, this one, as long as this one is before these two. That's not what it means at all. You know the difference in before and besides? If I say I can have no other bulletin before this one, but if I say I can have no other bulletin besides this one, what does that mean? It means those two's got to go. And this can be my only bulletin. Right? That's exactly what God means in that statement. He says, you have no other God besides me. Nothing else even close. Throw away everything else. I love how one translator puts it. One who dealt with this passage puts it this way. There should be no other gods in my sight. None other even in my sight. No other God besides me. I'm it. It's not that I want to be God on Sunday and work and family and everything else on Sunday evening or Monday and then you come back on Sunday. I'm it. No other bulletin besides me. That means down the road somewhere I don't find a better bulletin or a different bulletin or another bulletin. This is it. No other bulletin besides me. No other God besides me. I'm it. I'm it. The announcement. I'm God. The anticipation. Because of what I have done for you, you love me. And then we see finally here the assertion. Because of that. Because I am God. Because of what I've done for you, I'm it. No one besides me. Nothing else even close. Nothing else even in my sight. I'm it. Now, let me come back and finally answer the question we started with. Are there other ways to God? I might surprise some of you. There are millions and millions and millions of ways to God. But here's the issue. The question is not so much how you get there. The question is what you're going to do when you get there. Because here's what the Bible tells us. Every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to stand before God. You're going to get there. You serve Muslim, you know, you can be a Muslim, you can serve Buddha, you can be an atheist, you can be an agnostic. But let me tell you something. One day, whatever way you choose, one day you're going to stand before the God of the Bible and give an account of everything you've done and not done. You're going to give an account of what you did with Jesus Christ. You're going to get there. The real question is where are you going from there? See, there's going to be a lot of people who end up in front of the God of the Bible who had no idea that was the road they were on. They thought the road they were on was taking them here, there. They didn't know. And one day they're going to stand before the God of the Bible, and He's going to open up His book, and He's going to look through, and He's going to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." There are a lot of ways people are going to end up standing in front of God. But there's only two ways you're going to leave there. You're either going to leave there with these words ringing in your ear, "Depart from me, for I never knew you," or "Enter in, my good and faithful servant. Well done." That's it. Which way to God? Always they'll get you there. Some of you, the route you're choosing, some of you young people, the life you're living and the decisions you're making, you're going to end up there a lot quicker than you think. And you're going to stand before Him. And the question then is not going to be how'd you get here. The question is going to be what'd you do with Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Everyone in this room, everyone that has ever drawn a breath, will stand before Elohim. Will stand before the God of creation. Will stand before the God of the Bible. And the question is this. Do you know Christ? That's the question. That's the question. That's the price of eternity. That's the ticket. The Bible says He paid. The wages of sin is death. And He paid them on a cross called Calvary to cleanse us from our sins. You're here today. And you say, "I'm trying all those ways. I've done a lot of things. I'm trying to be good. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm giving money to the church. I'm doing all those, quote, good things." Can I tell you something? One day you're going to stand before God. You are. And He's not going to ask you how much you gave. He's not going to ask you how well you sang. He's not going to ask you how often you attended. He's not going to ask you if you had perfect attendance. He's going to ask you. The question is going to be, what did you do with Jesus Christ? What choice did you make? Did you accept Him as your personal Savior? There are going to be people who stand there before God who have been in church all their life, literally, from the time they were born. Their mamas and daddies have brought them to church. They've been raised in church. They've got, you know, their own personal seat, parking place, you name it. Name on the window, you name it. But when they stand before God, the question ain't going to be asked, "Did you come through the church? Did you do good stuff?" The question will be, "Did you know Christ?" The question won't even be, "Were you baptized?" The question will be, "Do you know Jesus?" That's the question. That's the answer. We're focusing on the question instead of the answer. We're focusing on the methods instead of the answer. He said it's finished. We're trying to do it. He said it's already done. This morning God says, "I am the Lord thy God. I have delivered you from bondage out of the house of Egypt. I've already paid the price and set you free." You're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Quit focusing on the question. Quit focusing on all the things that draw your attention. And bring yourself to this simple question. Do I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? You're going to stand before God no matter what you do in your life. one day you're going to stand before Him. You're going to stand before Him at the great white throne of judgment. You're going to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. One of the two. You're going to stand before Him lost, or you're going to stand before Him a child of God. That's it. We've divided up into black, white, Indian, Hispanic, tall, short, fat, skinny. We've divided up old, young, rich, poor. When the reality is there's only two divisions of people ever been made. Those that know Him and those that don't. Which one are you? You're here today and you are a Christian. You say, Jimmy, there's no doubt in my mind. I'm not trying to get there through the church or through reading. I know Jesus Christ, and I know that if at this very moment my heart would stop and I would lay over in this pew, I know that I would open up my eyes standing before God and He would welcome me in because I am a child of His. I am a blood-bought, sin-forgiven Christian. I know that. Jesus, God says in this statement, I am the Lord thy God. I've set you free from bondage. If He set you free from bondage, shouldn't it show? Shouldn't the world be able to tell we're free? You know, the Israelites spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness complaining. That's where most Christians are. They ought to sing their way all the way to the promised land. They ought to dance all the way to the promised land because of what God did for them. As Christians, He says, I love you. I've set you free. Are you serving me? Are you loving me? Are you worshiping me? I'm it. I'm God. Don't have anybody else even in my sight. I'm it. You're here today and you don't know Christ. You've never asked Him into your heart. You've tried everything you can. Listen, I want to tell you something. One day you're going to stand before God. But you're going to stand before Him unprepared. You've tried being good. You need to come this morning. Let us show you from God's Word how you can know Christ as your Savior. As our musicians come on, I ask you to bow your heads while no one's looking around. Christians in this room, you need to stop and reflect for just a moment. You know, those of you who are Christians, you know what I've said this morning. Every word of it is a truth. He is the Lord thy God. He has delivered you from bondage. Have no other gods besides me. Something else inside or something else close. You need to come this morning and say, Lord, I want you to be the only thing in my life. Not just in first place. We've prayed for Him to be in first place. That's not working. Let's pray for Him to be the only thing. Everything else will take care of itself. Seek first the kingdom of God, He says. Put it first. Put it up there. Nothing else even compares. You need to come this morning as a Christian and say, God, help me, help our church to always follow You, to put You, that You're the only thing that we concern ourselves with. You're here today and you don't know Him. God's speaking to your heart right now. You feel like your stomach's in knots, your heart's about to jump out of your chest. You know that you need to know Christ. You're here today and God saved you and you want this to be your home church. You want to be a part of this church family. You want to come. Whatever God lays on your heart this morning, you need to come. Submit yourself for baptism. We'll baptize again next week. Whatever God's laying on your heart, you need to come.